I want to speak this morning on Captain Noah and the good ship Grace. Captain Noah and the good ship Grace. I've oftentimes spoken on Noah, or maybe not oftentimes, but a number of times spoken on Noah. And actually, I'm going to speak more about the good ship Grace, the Ark, this morning. And point out to you the many pictures of Christ which we find in the Ark of Noah. Now, you know the story of Noah, do you, or don't you? Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 7. I'm sparing you reading both those chapters, do you? I want you to stay awake during my preaching today. And so, but you could look, if you want to see the whole story, and story of how one family escaped the judgment of God, the wrath of God. God hates sin. By the way, it doesn't matter what generation you're in. God hates sin. And the world had become corrupt, and Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Literally, the King James says he found favor in the sight of the Lord. Favor and grace are the same thing. We know that grace means you do not deserve it. So don't come along and say, oh yeah, Noah, he was really a good, honorable man, and God chose him. No, he found grace. That's why he got delivered, grace. And Noah spent long time, 120 years, I believe, building a boat. Now, it's remarkable that he built a boat. Did you know they'd never seen a boat? They'd never seen a flood. They hadn't ever seen rain. You say, well, how did they exist? Well, this mist came every morning, watered the earth. The whole earth was watered. This is before the flood. And so they come along. Can you imagine? What you doing there, Noah? I'm building a boat. A boat? What's that for? Oh, that's to avoid the flood. What's a flood? Well, that happens when rain comes down and the waters come up from the depth, and the whole place is going to be flooded. Can't you hear them saying, you know, that Noah's a nice enough fella, but he says that they're going to be saved by getting into a boat, a what? And the whole conversation starts again. I was reading up on this, and the Bible gives the dimensions of the ark. Now, I'm not an engineer, but it used to be the scoffers years ago used to say, that boat like that couldn't float with all the animals in it. That's been disproven. They now say, actually, that's an amazing piece of work. Back then, when they never knew anything about boats, he built the equivalent of a super tanker. Science only caught up with the Bible in one of the many incidents that we can show you that. But anyway, that's not my story. My story is this. If I could paraphrase it, if you are in Christ, you are safe. If you are outside of Christ, destruction, damnation. You say, how'd you get into Christ? I've been baptized. Good for you. That won't get you into Christ. I'm a church member. That won't get you into Christ. Only by putting your trust and your confidence in Christ Jesus, who died for sinners, who was buried, who rose again. The living Christ can become your Savior. If you'll say, Jesus, save me, you'll find yourself in Christ. It's wonderful. And so this ark that we're going to see, that Noah built, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. All in the ark are saved, and all outside the ark are lost. The first thing I want to draw to your attention is found in Genesis 6, 13 to 14. Genesis 6, 13 to 14. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with all the earth. Do you think God doesn't talk like that? You think that God doesn't... Would somebody help the person who's looking in to try to come in? That's okay, Jillian. Come in. Do you think God wouldn't do such a thing as that? Of course he would. He's God. He's holy. And we don't understand that holiness of His. And that holiness, in His holiness, He hates sin. He hates it. And He says, look, He says, I'm going to destroy them with the earth. And then He says, make an ark of gopher wood, and rooms shalt I make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without, inside and outside with pitch. I want you to notice something. It's the Lord who says, the end is coming. And it's the Lord who says, make an ark. It was God's idea. And here's the point. The means of escape from the judgment was already in the mind of God before He ever said anything. God thought up the plan. And likewise, Christ was not an afterthought for God. Revelation 13, verse 8. Wonderful scripture. Revelation 13, 8. It says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was not an afterthought. In the mind of God, He was already slain. Before there ever was a sinner on earth, there was a Savior in heaven. That's how wonderful our God is. He has seen to every detail. It's wonderful. Another thing I want to draw to your attention, very simple thing. The ark is made of wood, gopher wood. It's not made of steel, iron, any such thing. It's made of wood. Now, this is a very simple point. But before the ark could be made, trees had to be cut down. You say, so what? Well, now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a tree hugger, but I do love trees. And I have actually defended, protested against the cutting down of ancient oaks here in Ireland. Did that many years ago. Culloden Woods. Now, I'm not a tree hugger, but that's our heritage. The oldest oaks in Ireland. Why cut them down? For nothing. For profit. But here's the thing. Trees have to be cut down. Trees are living things. And had to be cut down so that Noah and his family could be saved. That points towards the fact that Christ had to be cut down. He had to be executed. He had to be slain upon a cross so that life could come out of death. And out of the death of the trees comes life. It comes an ark. It's a wonderful thing. Noah's life is secured by the death of the trees. Another thing is this. The ark became the shelter from divine judgment. The flood, you see, was simply divine judgment. How many arks are there in the Bible? Anybody like to tell me? Do you know? No? Okay, we'll take that. What? There's two? One, two? We've got the Ark of the Covenant. There's three. Okay, first of all, there's the ark, Noah's ark, okay? And that kept all the people who were inside that ark were safe and from divine judgment. They were spared divine judgment. The second one that we sometimes overlook is the ark of bulrushes that preserved Moses. Moses, as a little baby, was under a threat from literally from Satan in the person of Pharaoh. Pharaoh, Satan was going to try to destroy the seed. Do you remember in Genesis 3:15, the Lord had said, there's going to be a seed coming. And that Satan had been watching for the birth of this seed. And that's why Christ, they tried to kill Jesus when He was a little baby. And Moses, they tried to kill him. But he was preserved inside an ark. Isn't it amazing? God makes no mistakes in the way He writes Scripture for us. And so Moses is kept safe in the ark. And then, as has been mentioned, there was the Ark of the Covenant. And it contained the tablets of the law. The law says, do this, do that, do that. We still have that today in religion. Really, people say, well, if I do a lot of things right, I'll get right with God. Do this, don't do this, do that. That's not Christianity. The law demands those things, but The law shows us that we can't do it. We are failing. We're sinners. And here is on top of the broken ark, or the broken law, is the ark of the covenant, the mercy seat. And the whole thing becomes the ark of the covenant. The mercy seat and the cherubims, and they're almost touching. It's a picture of Christ. Listen, if you are covered with the blood of Christ, and I don't mean literally, but figuratively, if you've trusted Christ, you are safe. And isn't it wonderful that God gives us these wonderful pictures? And it speaks to us that the believer in Christ, the truster in Christ, is safe from God's judgment. We're safe from the attacks of Satan. We're saved from the condemnation of the law. But if you are outside of Christ, my friend, you may be listening on sermon audio. You may be listening on YouTube. But if you're outside of Christ, I urge you right now, put your trust in Him. Put your trust in Him. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me. I believe in You. I trust in You. I'm not worthy to die for, but You died for sinners. And I trust You to become my Savior. You know, it's interesting that Acts 4 and verse 12 says this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Would you like eternal life? Do you want eternal life? Do you desire eternal life? Then eternal life, my friend, comes only in Jesus. In Jesus, neither is there any name. There's no other name. None other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now I want you to notice Genesis 7:1. And you're listening so well. The Lord said unto Noah, this is when the ark has been finished. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. He's righteous because God has given him His righteousness. I'm not saying Noah wasn't a good guy. But the only righteousness which will take you to heaven is Christ's righteousness. And the only way you get that is by faith. But that's not the point I want to make here. The Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. That's wonderful, isn't it? Come into the ark. Noah is invited by God Himself to come into the place of safety, to come into the place of security, to come into the place where he'll be shielded from judgment. And this is the first time in the Bible that the word come is used. Notice, Noah isn't told to go into the ark. Now, that's important that you get that. He's told to come into the ark. Do you know what that means? That means God was in the ark. God wasn't outside the ark. He said, come into the ark. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their iniquities. And so, if He had said to go, that's a command. But He says, come, that's a wonderful invitation. Jesus says it like this, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden. Are you weary, heavy laden? Has life dealt you hard cards? Do you realize that you're a sinner and you're in need of redemption? Come unto me, says Jesus. I won't make you pay for it. No, I won't charge you for it. No, I don't want you to work for it. As we sang this morning, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. What a gracious invitation to avoid the wrath of God. Come into the ark. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then thou shalt be saved. And this ark was a place of total security. Genesis 6 and verse 14. Genesis 6, verse 14. Make an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within. Pitch it within and without. Outside and inside, pitch. This thing is going to be sealed against the judgment of the storm. Right here, God is using water as judgment. And pitch is watertight. The water is the judgment, but the pitch is both within and without, inside and outside. No matter how hard it's going to rain, you're going to be safe because there's going to be pitch on the ark, like a big tar on the ark, on the outside and in the inside. You're doubly safe, doubly secure. No matter how hard it rains, you're safe in the ark. In the ark, you're safe. That reminds me so much of Colossians 3 and verse 3. Colossians 3 and verse 3. For you are dead. This is talking to Christians. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're in the ark. You're in Christ. Your life is hid. Hidden from judgment. Hidden from destruction. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Isn't that marvelous? And that's just the way they were in the ark. It's very interesting. Genesis 7:16. Look at Genesis 7:16. And they that went in male and female, as God had commanded him. Watch this. And the Lord shut him in. Who closed the door of the ark? The Lord. The Lord shut him in. My friend. Oh, my friend. God shut the door to the ark. And just so it is, when you are in Christ, God has shut the door. You are not coming out, and no one's going to get in to pull you out, and judgment won't get you out. God has shut the door. And today, you are shut in or you're shut out. Because when God closes the door, there is a time coming when the final judgment shall come, when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout with all his holy angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. You say, that's not gentle Jesus, meek and mild. That's what's coming. The wrath of God is coming. Not for those, however, in the ark. Not those who have found the hiding place. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And all who entered into the ark were saved. And look at what it says in John 18 and verse 9. John 18 and verse 9 simply says this, that the saying might be fulfilled which is spoken of them which thou hast given me, gavest me, I have lost one or two. Is that what it says? This is Jesus talking. Jesus talking about his sheep that the Father gave him to take care of. Who are the sheep? The believers, his people. And Jesus says, of those that you gave me, I've lost one or two, half a dozen, 100 at most. No, 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 no. Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Not one have I lost. And when people come to me and say, oh, Brother McKee, and I've had them tackle me and they argue with me, say, you can lose your salvation, you can lose myself or your salvation. I say, I could lose anything. I can't even find the keys of the car most days. Don't ask me to keep my salvation. I could lose it. But Jesus is my Savior. I'm not my Savior. And Jesus said, of all that the Father gave him, he has lost none. Take it up with Jesus if you don't like it. Go and tell Jesus that he's a lousy shepherd. Go and tell him that he loses the sheep. I won't. Here's another interesting thing about the ark. The ark had only one door. Check it out. Read it up. It wasn't a series of doors, one for Noah, one for his family, one for the animals, one for the birds. No, one door. If you're going to get into the ark, you went in through one door. It's the same with the tabernacle in the wilderness. You know how many entrances there were to the tabernacle? One. One and one only. And the application is obvious, for there is only one Savior. There's only one access to the Father. There's only one mediator. There's only one name given whereby we must be saved. And God deals with us through one man only. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are unrighteous, and he is the Holy One of Israel. And that's why Jesus boldly says, he says it in John 10 and verse 9, he says, I am the door. Look at that. I am a door. I am, no, the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the door. There was one door into the ark to keep you safe. There's only one door now to keep you safe. His name is Jesus. Won't you go to him and trust him? You say, brother, I'm already a believer. Then will you continue to trust him? He's the only door. He's your only hope. He's your only... When you pray, the Father, pray in his name. He's the mediator. He will give you the revelation of God. He will introduce you somehow wonderfully. He'll meet you. You'll meet God in him. He's amazing. And he doesn't charge. Isn't that wonderful? And so, again, the door was in the side of the ark. Genesis 6:16. A window shall I make to the ark, and the cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side. Just one door, and it's set in the side. Whew. I wonder, does that point towards something? I believe it does. I believe it points to the piercing of the side of the Savior. Right in here. There's a door in this side. In the side of the ark. That piercing shows us the heart of God. It's open to us. God's heart is for us. John 19:34. Did I not give you that one, Anton? That's all right. The way to the heart of God is open. It's wonderful. Open to guilty people. But it's not open to people who say, I don't need a Savior. But it's open to guilty people. It's open to hopeless people. If you've lost hope, the door to God is open through Jesus. But only through Jesus. One of the soldiers, John 19:34. With a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there blood and water. Oh, man. I was talking to someone recently, and they said, you wouldn't allow such and such a person in your church. I said, oh, the door's open, man. The door's open. It's open to sinners. That's your only qualification for Christ, is to be a sinner, to know that you're a sinner. That's got to be real for us, folks. Wake up in the morning and thank the Lord that you're saved. Thank the Lord for his mercy. Do you know how much mercy he's given you right now? Okay? Do you know how much? I want you to put your hand over your mouth and hold your nose. Go on, do this. Go on, put your hand over your mouth. Squeeze your nose. See? I want you to know, how long could you last? You need breath. But here we are. We're breathing. I just made that breath by the mercy of God. You're walking by the mercy of God, by the grace of God. How kind he is. We'll eat today. We're going to eat together as a church. And you say, well, I bought that food. Who gave you the money to buy the food? God did. We're so totally dependent on him. And here he hung upon the cross. And was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side, which flowed, be of sin a double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Listen to me. In the time of trouble, he will hide you in his pavilion. We don't have to take time to go to Psalm 27, but that's what it says. In the time of trouble, he will hide you in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he'll hide you and set you upon a rock. Oh, that's the kind of Savior I need. Somebody who'll hide me and set me upon a rock. Immovable. I'm going to bring this to the end and go back to Genesis 6:14. You've listened so well. Genesis 6:14. Make an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. I want to look very briefly at this little word, pitch. I looked it up. And the usual word for pitch is a word called setteth. But here it was kafir. Or kafir, somebody calls it, but pardon me, the pronunciation is kafir. Did you know that that word is translated 8 times ransom? There's going to be a ransom on the outside and the inside. But more thrilling was that it's also translated 70 times atonement. What? Yeah. Pitch it without, pitch it within. The believer is safe because, not of tar, but because there's been an atonement. And an atonement speaks about death. It speaks about blood. It speaks about the cross. The cross, because Jesus died, we are safe in the ark of Christ crucified. All these little wonderful pictures. We are sheltered by the blood of Christ. And that is the gospel truth this morning.
The love, the mystery. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about our ministry, go to milesmckee.com. Our church website is thegracechurch.ie. We'd love to hear from you. Miles's email is miles@thegracechurch.ie. If you'd like to support the work we are doing in Ireland and other parts of the world, you can click on the donate link on milesmckee.com. Don't forget to check out more sermons at sermonaudio.com. Until next time, slán agus beannacht libh. Never have enough. Your perfect peace, your word of truth.